Proverbs chapter 2. So I'd like to focus on our fathers. You girls, you can listen along, it's okay. But, you know, a dad is a dad. Anybody can be a biological donor. It takes a real man to be a father. There's a lot of idiots out there today that take no responsibility for anything. They're there for their own gratification. They really don't care about you. I wish you girls would wise up to that, amen, and really check out, see what's really going on in their life. Spend some time, watch them, check everything out. Here's a good one. You check out how they treat their mama, and that's how they're going to treat you. I just thought you girls, this sermon is not about you, but I just thought I'd just help you out a little bit, okay? See how they treat mama, and that's how they treat you. See how they treat their father, and that's how they respect you. If a boy don't have respect for his father, he ain't nothing. He's not worth the air that he breathes. He has no respect for his father. Shame, shame on us. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's be good dads. Let's be good fathers. Amen. If a father's going to prosper in the area of being a good Christian dad, he must not, nor can he deviate or swerve or contradict or wander or depart or shift, nor stray from the life that his children have heard him speak or seen him do. I know that's a lot to say, but I hope you'll understand that. One man said, Christian are God's little spies in the home. Children are God's little spies in the home. See, the kids know all about you. They know things that nobody else knows about you. One time I was at a deal, and I'm not here to toot my own horn, but one day I was doing something, and I heard my boy say something to another man. He said, you know what? My dad's the same in the pulpit as he at home. Now, I hope that you're the same in your pulpit as you are in your home. I hope you say one thing and mean it. Sometimes it's not popular. Sometimes it's not expedient. But it will be expedient someday. Someday it will not, at one time it does not seem the right, but it is right. And right is always right and wrong is always wrong. And we as fathers must carry ourselves understanding we're not their buddy, we're their father. My boys used to say, well, Dad, don't you trust me? I said, God never told me to trust you. God told me to protect you and watch over you. I trust you, but the problem is those rascals you run around with. Explain this to me. I've asked this many times. I've preached this all over the country. Explain this to me. Why is it that you raise a child from 19 years old till he's 19? I mean from this little ankle biter all the way up to a man. And he meets somebody. And in 30 minutes, he's doing exactly opposite what you've told him for 19 years. Explain that to me. Would you explain that to me? If you could, I'd write a book and we'd both make millions. Explain this to me. You've taken this little girl from diapers all the way up to this beautiful evening gown young lady. And you've taught her. You've taught her in the home. Mamas have worked with her and daddy's worked with her. And you've taught her how to be proper and how to act and how to dress. And all of a sudden, boom! Within 15 minutes, she's with some other girls and she changes her old attitude and whole mind. Explain that to me. I worked 2 decades to raise 3 boys. I worked very hard at it. When I see my sons getting close to the neighbor kids, I say, okay, boys, let's go fishing. I'd have the fish ready, I had the fish poles ready. And I had the treats, the snacks, Now they bring them for me, amen. The other night I went fishing and the kids were bringing me snacks, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Yeah. I always made it more wonderful and more exciting than the stupid little neighbor kid. What is wrong with us dads? You're so worried about going golfing, you're so worried about going hunting, and you leave your little boy, your little girls home. You know, fellas, I want to just, are you ready for this? I don't know if you guys are ready for this or not. Why don't you boys grow up? You've already had your time to play. Now you take care of your kids. You be the father now. Not with your buddies at work that you're going fishing with. You take your boys with you. This is time you teach them. And it's not your time to catch fish. It's your time to make sure they catch the fish. And it's making sure that they are the winner and making sure they are the men of the future. I don't know if you're ready for this. How does a father keep his attitude and way of life in order? I read the scriptures here in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ears unto wisdom and apply thy heart understanding." The father's responsibility is to say, "Hey boy, I want to teach you something. I want you to learn something here. I want you to be always learning something." This book I gave you guys, some of you will just take it, come, "Boy, that was nice of the preacher." Spent $5 on it. It's a $10 book. Spent $5 on it. And he gives out to you guys and he says, "Well, that was a nice book. Another one in for my shelf." Why don't you read the thing? Read it. Not now. Not now. Read it. Josh, put it away. All right. How does the father live the way he wants? He's not doing that. Live the way he wants his children to live. To be a great father demands constant diligence and persistent and consistent keeping the father's heart through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You can't do it yourself. Because there's all kinds of things coming crashing in on you. There's all this junk bombarding you. And one of the things we forget, we start battling all these little brush fires out here instead of keeping to the main thing. What is my main thing? If I'm a father, my main thing is to raise my boys, to raise my girls. That's the main thing in my life. It's not my job. That's just a vocation, I think, to make enough money to feed my kids and put shoes on their feet. And a new pair of blue jeans on them and a cowboy hat on them. Even that's what I'm here for. My job is not my work. My job is to raise my boys and my girls. And we have forgot that. Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You know that truth. You're more concerned about that stupid iPad or that iPhone or Sony or whatever you've got in your hand. That's the most important thing in your life. Yesterday I was down and driving down the road, had my wife, we're going to go out to eat. All of a sudden, here comes a whole bunch of motorcycles, and it was raining. And I drive motorcycles. I understand something about when it's raining, it's very dangerous. This idiot pulled out, ran the red light, and the lead motorcycle, I seen him go like that. I took a picture of her license number, and when I caught up to her, guess what she had in her hand? I was so... Folks, put the stinking phone down and talk to your kids. Pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing. My wife despises me on my phone. I don't have my phone with me. I left it up in my office. It's a good thing to do at church so it doesn't go off like it did this morning. And I'm doing like this, and somebody shoots me a text. If you shoot me a text, shoot me one. After that, call me. I answered 3 texts here the other day. I almost said, "No, call me." But I knew that you were at work and you had to take care of business. But anyway, I'm not a Texan guy. I don't like it. Because I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know your attitude towards me when you text me something. And I just might text you something back. That you don't know my attitude. And if you get a text from me and it goes, you got it. How many have ever got one of those? Jerry, he's leaving. He's mad. All right. Hey, you know what? There are times that you need your phone. I was in church one time, and I said, now, folks, don't forget to shut your phones off. And a little teenage girl was sitting up here. And her phone went off in the middle of church. And I thought, I don't think she's law enforcement. I don't think she's EMS. And I don't think she's a doctor. I don't think that this moment, for the next hour, you're that important to have your phone on. And if you do, you're thinking highly of yourself. Boy, I don't want to miss that. Raising your kids, take time for your children. Great father, to be a great father is demanding. Christian fathers must live by the word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to Christians at Corinth, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that you raised your children and in the middle of your life, you did something that really was horrendous. It'd be horrendous. It'd be horrendous. Don't sit my wife up in front seat. Make sure she goes back where she's supposed to be, all right? Now listen to me. Folks, if you don't know, my wife suffered 3 years ago a ventricle cardiac arrest. She was not resuscitated for 14, 20 minutes. She's like a little four-year-old soul. But we got her. So please bear with us. Amen. Now here's the deal. It'd be a terrible thing in your Christian life, you're living for God, living for God. All of a sudden you stop church. So explain that to your kid. I don't go to that church anymore. Why? Well, the preacher said something. Well, if you've been living for God like you should, you wouldn't have got upset about something like that. Amen. I just thought I'd just give that to you. Amen. So explain to your kids. All of a sudden your kids don't go to church. Why should they? You made a choice. If your church is the most important thing in your life, if your church is the most important thing in your life, you're going to show it, amen. God said, I love the church, and I gave my son for the church, and Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Then why are you out of church? Well, Pastor, you know those people, how they talk. Yeah, I do. And you're the same thing as they is. The Bible says, forgiving one another, and so much more as see the days approaching. The Bible says that it is so important we'd forgive one another. All of us going to say something. You can't say anything. I don't care how politically correct you are, you're going to say something that's going to bump somebody in the head. Something happened the other day, and somebody said, well, that's not for very political correct. Yeah, I said, but it's right. We are so, what's the word for it? So touchy. I've always noticed the people that are the most blatant in saying things to other people. Boy, you say something to them, and boy, I'll tell you what, they come out like a cat with turpentine on their tail, amen. Don't try that at home. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae and says, mortify therefore your members which are upon this earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Again, Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, flee also youthful lust. By the way, Timothy was 40 years old when he wrote that to him. Flee youthful lust. I hear some of you guys, some of you he-men out there, that you, what do they call that, they're having their midlife crisis. What's that? What's a midlife crisis? I've had a crisis all my life. When I was a kid, my mama used to beat that crisis out of me, amen. I mean, I got beat so many times, they can tan my hide and put it on the wall. I mean, she did, amen. When I was a teenager, I was having a teenage crisis. When I got married, I had a married crisis. I'll tell you what. Then I had kids. I had a crisis there. I had kids turn to be teenagers. No crisis there. Boy, that was a good time. I loved that teenage years with my kids. They're wonderful. You missed the boat. I had good times. The crisis I had when they got married and left my house. No longer do I have anybody go get me pizza and pop and, hey, go down to the store and get me this, you know. Hey, fill that truck up with fuel, you know. Now I got to do it. Mow my lawn! That's my crisis today, man. Peter wrote to the strangers dispensed at Pontus and Galatia. And they were chiefly Jews, descendants from the Jews, which are translated from, they had moved from back from Babylon. And Antiochus was the king of Syria. And about 200 before the coming of Jesus Christ. And they were placed in the cities of Asia Minor. And Peter wrote to those guys and he said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Hey, dads. There is continual bombardment on your soul. But you got to keep right. You got to keep straight because that little boy is watching his daddy. There's a man that got saved out of drinking and debauchery and but he got saved and life started to get really tough for him, and he stayed out of church one day and it just started progressing, you know, and just went right back, and it seemed like he was worse than he was before he got saved. And one day, it was cold, dark, cold night, and he headed out. He said, "I've had it. I'm going to the tavern." And the snow was about up to his knees, and he walked out of that little shanty that he lived with his wife and little boy. All of a sudden, halfway to the tavern, he heard something behind him and turned back. And he seen his little boy going like this, trying to keep out of that snow. And he kept going like this. And the boy said, "Hey, boy, what are you doing?" He said, "Daddy, I'm just following in your steps." Satan wants to destroy you. And if he can destroy you, he'll destroy your children. And if he destroys your children, he'll destroy a nation. Hey, dads. Tonight, you know church always starts at 6 o'clock here at the Baptist Church. Your kid going to follow you? Why should he? Just asking the question. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the Bible. If you just read it, just kind of perch your mind to it and say, you know what, there's some pretty important thing. As in our own lives, we have inconsistencies. And as we try as hard as we can, we still find inconsistencies. I want to show how human people in the Bible times let and show you that what was found. For example, Samson's father. You remember Samson, the great strong warrior of Israel? His dad's name was Manoah. Manoah was a half-hearted father. His wife was one who got God's attention, not Manoah. His wife did. Thank God for you godly wives. And his wife was one who answered to God. God didn't talk to Manoah. He talked to Manoah's wife. And she was one that the angel of God came to after she prayed. She had got him, and he had led her. And the angel said to Manoah, "I've already told your wife how to raise your child. Leave me alone." That penetrated my heart as a young dad. And I said, I am not going to let my wife be more spiritual than I am. I was challenged by that. I'm not going to let my wife pray more than me and read my Bible more and be a soul winner more than me. I am, because I am the man. I'm supposed to be living for God. I'm not after the girls today, and I'm not a, what do you call those things, a chauvinistic. You think I'm chauvinistic? You ought to see how I treat my wife and treat my mama. But I'm telling you, God has called me the head of the home. He didn't call you woman. He called the man the head of the home. Did he say that in the Bible or not?
Yes.
I call it in the Bible. So therefore, I am going to be the spiritual leader in my home. Thank God for you spiritual mamas. When your daddy's gone, when daddy's gone, mama's the spiritual leader of the home. Amen. That's what you're supposed to be. I heard a preacher from Rock of Ages say one time, he said, there's a chaplain in a correction facility who gave out Mother's Day cards, and all of a sudden, as correction did, everybody knew about it. The old grapevine in the jail. And he had to order a couple more boxes. So thinking that he's going to get ahead of the game, he went out and ordered a couple hundred Father's Day cards. Not one inmate asked for a Father's Day card. Some of you guys have worked in corrections, better not. You understand what I'm talking about. The thought came to him in a very way. Anyone can biologically have a child, but few men can truly be a father. That's what that chaplain said. Now, a true father must, number one, if you take a note, have character. A true father must have determination. He must be assured of himself. He must be bold. He must have certainty. He must have confidence. He must have some convictions. He must have courage. And know how to make a decision. He knows how to endure. I used to tell my boys, you want to fight? I know who's going to win. You want to fight? And they'd grin at me. They knew what the old man was talking about. Man needs that firmness. But a man must have love. I used to take the Board of Education to see the learning to my boys. And I'd take that little stick and I'd throw it away. And I'd put them in my arms. And I said, boy, you have no idea how this hurts your daddy. I just want you to know I love you with all my heart. I just want you to be the best boy in the world. I tell them every time I did that. Listen, when you are disciplining your child, you're not there to hurt them. You're there to help them. You're trying to raise them up. I've seen better men raise bird dogs better than they can even raise their own kids. Because they're afraid they may hurt their dog or hurt their temperament or make them gun-shy and on and on and on. Hey, what about our kids? You think more about a stinking dog that's going to die on the ground and that's it? And a child that can go to either heaven or hell. Shame on us daddies. Shame on us. Father must have fortitude. He must be insistent. Insistent. No, you're going to do what I say. I'm going to bend your will, but I'm not going to break your will. All three of my boys were as different as day and night. One of them was like a lawyer. He remembered everything and all the things before and the things that would happen later. I'm telling you what, he would come with a legal pad when he got a little older. He said, "Now, Dad. And I said, yeah, but I'm the daddy, and this is what I said. And if you did not understand before, you understand this, boy. This is the law." "Okay, Dad." And you know what? Never had a problem with him. Then the next guy, I just look at him, and he just wilt. And I had to be very careful about him. Then the other guy I beat so many times, I don't know. But here was the answer with him. At 20, he got saved. Lived in the preacher's house. Heard some of the greatest preachers of the world. Yet he never came to the fact that he needed Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Well, he knew it, but he just didn't do it. He didn't make Jesus Christ his own personal Savior. A father must have stamina. You cannot give up. You can't get tired. You just got to keep it at it. My daughter-in-law got a little guy that reminds me so much of me. Oh, my goodness. He's getting whooped all the time. I mean to tell you. Man, he's about instinct. He just asked for it. I mean, he got this grin on his face, like I used to have this grin on his face. I could never lie. I'd always get caught. She came to me about pulling her hair out. She said, "What am I going to do with this boy, Papa? What am I going to do?" I said, "Don't you quit. Don't you quit." Then I sat down and I told her my sordid story of the way I grew up. She said, "Are you kidding me?" No. It took me until about 19. Then I met a girl, and she straightened me out real quick. Amen. Her name was Marcia. Thank God for godly wives. Amen. Godly girlfriends. She straightened me out. "No, we're not doing that." "Why not?" "Because I said so." Oh. Amen. Can't give up. I said, "Sherry, you can't quit." It just burned my heart because I know the kid. I watch him and I know he's in trouble. He's going to get in trouble. I mean, he doesn't do bad things. He just does things that are kind of stupid. Like, "Hey, I thought I'd get rid of it." "Ouch, no, I didn't get rid of it. Well, I'll try it again. Maybe I'll try it this angle." Don't do that! Mom, would you listen to me? You listen to me, Dad. If you got a boy or a girl that is not willing to come under, you fall on your face before God and you beg God to teach you how to raise that child. Beg Him. "God, you just got to show me." Get around some dads that have raised some boys. Get around them. My job is to raise men. Not preachers, but raised men. Let God call them out. Amen. The father should always have the desire that their children would rather be with them than with their friends. Does she want to be with you more than with her friends or with his friends? You got to work at that. You got to do a lot of work with that. You got to be thinking. And you got to make things fun. You got to make things enjoyable. You got to make, if your kid won't talk to you, get in the car, go to Missoula. They will talk to you. Because once you hit Rogers Pass, there's no cell phone. And they are going to talk to you. Because they're about ready to bust. Because they're yakking all the time with their friends. There's a wonderful thing about Montana. You can take people in Montana that your cell phone does not work. And no more of this stuff. I was riding with this one kid. Say, hey, I don't have any bars. I'm going to. You know what bars is, right? On the cell phone.
Yeah,
he said, but there are no bars up here. What's the world coming to? You should not want to be like other fathers. Status quo. God has made every man different as a snowflake. He made you and me to be me, me, and you, you. Therefore, don't waste God's creation. While I'm on the subject, I want to talk to you children and teens for a minute. There are parents who seem to do everything they can for their children. And by the way, Samson was one of those. His parents were that. They did everything that they humanly possibly could to give their son everything he desired. Yet the boy also has a responsibility to dedicate himself to God. You are a person. God has given you this thing called the free will. And you can do what you want to do. And you know that. Well, you're tough. But I'll tell you, one of these days you will regret. You will regret the way you treated your father. And it'll be so deep, you'll never get over it. If you're unwilling to come under their authority and come under their leadership, if you're unwilling to give yourself to him, you will not make it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Listen to this, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, you have a great responsibility. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Rules without love brings rebellion. Rules without love brings rebellion. Why am I doing this to my child? I always try to have something. The reason I was disciplining my child, there's a reason for it. Son, this is why I want you to do this. Not because I hate you, not because I want you to be so busy, it's because I'm teaching you something. I am your father. Love without rules is anarchy. You have no rules. Hey, let's pull all the stop signs and all the stoplights out of all Great Falls. You know how it is when you come to uncontrolled access. Some of these roads have no stop signs. They have no yields. That's a scary place. My brother-in-law is a highway patrolman. Gifted driver. He coming through down by my place, and he went through, and this car it about killed him. He said, what in the world's going on here? I said, that's called uncontrolled access. Great Falls is one of the dangerous places in the world to drive, especially we've got our ranchers coming through town. And they have the right-of-way. Because they drive the bigger vehicles. I'm telling you, if you have love, you love your kids so much, but they have no rules, you got anarchy. Something has to have rules. Thank God for the speed limits. Thank God for the stoplights. Thank God for those police officers out there that are pulling people over when they think they're inebriated and put them in jail to keep them from killing themselves and also killing your whole family. Aren't you glad for rules? Yeah. Thank God for rules and benefits when they check, I think it's like 21 times before they give you one piece of medicine. It's been checked 21 times, making sure that you get the right medicine. Aren't you glad about those rules? It's okay, son. Everybody's doing it. When Johnny was 6 years old, he was with his father who was caught speeding. His father handed the police officer $20 with his driver's license, and he said to his son, "It's okay, father." He said to his son, "It's okay. Everybody does it. Don't you try that in Great Falls, man. You're a dead duck, I'm telling you. You go in jail." When he was 9 years old, his mother took him to the theater for the first time to see a first production. The box office said, "Find any seat," until his mother discovered a $5 in her purse. It's okay, son. Everybody's doing it. When Johnny was 12 years old, he broke his glasses at school. Aunt Francine persuaded the insurance company to say that they were stolen. She collected $75. "It's okay, Johnny." Everybody's doing it. When he was 14 years old, Johnny and his family went out to eat, and his father said, "Tell them that you're 13 so that we can eat at your child rate." "It's okay, son." Father said, "Everybody's doing it." When he was 15 years old, he made right guard on the high school football team. His coach showed him how to block, at the same time grabbed the opposing arm of the shirt so the official wouldn't see it. "It's okay, kid. Everybody does it." At 16 years old, he took his first job at the supermarket. He was assigned to put overripe strawberries in the bottom of the boxes and the good ones at the very top. "It's okay, kid," the manager said. "Everybody's doing it." When he was 18 years old, Johnny and a friend applied for the same scholarship. Johnny was a marginal student. His neighbor was an upper third of his class, but he didn't play football. Johnny got the scholarship. "It's okay, son," his parents said. "Everybody's doing it." When he was 19 years old, he was approached by an upperclassman, and he was offered a test for $50. "It's okay, kid. Everybody does it in college." Johnny was caught for cheating and sent home in disgrace. "How could you do such a thing to your mother and me?" father said. "You never ever learned anything like that at our home." His coach, his boss, his aunt, his uncle were shocked. If there's one thing the adult world can't stand, is a kid that cheats. I have a few pet peeves. When you go into a restaurant and you order one pop and let everybody drink from it, that's cheating. That's cheating. And guess who just saw it? There's a whole bunch of things that you can cheat at. But I'm going to tell you something. Those little spies that God has put in your house, they're getting it. And they're watching you. They're seeing whether you love God enough to tithe. They're seeing whether or not you go to church. They're seeing how you talk to your friends. Yeah, they're seeing it all. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have determined in my heart, my life, to be a good dad, a father. I've determined in my heart and my life to be a good grandpa, a good papa. And I don't want to cheat. Because I don't want them to see me cheat. First of all, God sees me. Nothing's hidden from Him. But my kids. He said, but you're a preacher. I don't care if I was a garbage collector. Bless God, I'm going to be a man. I have been created by God different than anybody else in this world. And I'm not going to waste God's creation. I don't care who you are, what you are, how much you owe, how much money you got in the bank, and how many IRAs you have. I don't care who you are. God calls us to be honest. God calls us to be real men, to serve Him. Father, I don't care if everybody else is doing it. I'm going to do what you say, the Bible. And Lord, I know I've failed many times. I know, Lord God, there's many times in my life I've stumbled and failed. But dear God, I pray that you'd help me as the Holy Spirit reminds me and bumps me and reminds me of who I am and what I should be doing, that I would always come under the authority of the Word of God. Lord God, I beg you for these men that are sitting out listening to my voice today. I beg you, and these men that will be fathers, that they make a difference in their children's life. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about just our own children's lives. First of all, Lord God, I certainly want my children to know as a father, I have you as my personal Savior. I want to make sure that my child knows that when I died and when they lower me down in that grave, that that's just the body. My spirit is in heaven rejoicing, waiting for them to come. God, I pray there be anyone here today who's not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day that they receive you as their Savior. God, help us to change the course of this world by starting by our own home. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And I want to be a father that my children know that if something happens to daddy, and by the way, things do happen to daddies, I'm on my way to heaven. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this. Has there ever been a time in your life that you asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins? And that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose on the third day for your sins. And that if you just, by faith, by belief, by trusting in Christ, you'd have a new life. Have you ever done that? Has there been a time in your life that you made Jesus Christ your personal Savior? Or as the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. If you have not done that, won't you do that today? You say, how do I do that? By asking God to forgive your sins. Say, dear God, just pray a prayer to God. He'll hear you. You don't have to say it out loud. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now, right here, right at this spot. God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. You hear today and say, preacher, would you pray that again? Sure. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. You hear today and say, preacher, I prayed that prayer today. Would you lift your hand? Praise God for daddies that do that, or young men, or mamas, or boys. Here today and say, preacher, there are some things in my heart, in my life, I need to change. As a father. And I'm asking you, preacher, you'd pray for me today. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Thank God for your dads that want to serve God. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you to speak to our hearts as we have this time of invitation. Would you speak to us now, Lord God? If there's anyone here today who's not sure they're saved, Lord, today they'd step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, everyone to stand. Pianist playing, you're here today and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from God's holy word, the Bible, how you can be saved. I can assure you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Boy, what a great day. Father's Day. Father's Day, I got saved. I got my Heavenly Father. Why don't you come? Your day, say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Your day, say, preacher, there's some things in my heart and my life. I'm just having a difficult time with. Maybe here today, say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Listen, the aisle is always open. Why don't you give your life to Jesus Christ today? Why don't you, Father, say, as of today, my home is going to be a Christian home. And my children are going to have a godly Christian daddy. And I'm going to walk the walk, and I'm going to talk the talk. I'm going to be a Bible-believing man. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for Father's Day. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd help us as fathers to be more like you, for you are the great Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.